Krishna Book, Canto 19, The Solar Eclipse at Kurukshetra, Chapter 82, Scene 5. Krishna instructs the gopis on the highest philosophy of life. As far as the gopis of Vrindavana were concerned, from the very beginning of their lives, the gopis did not know anything beyond Krishna. Krishna and Balaram were their life and soul. The gopis were so attached to Krishna that they could not even tolerate not seeing Krishna momentarily when their eyelids blinked and impeded their vision. The gopis had condemned Lord Brahma, the creator of the body, because Brahma foolishly made eyelids which blinked and checked their seeing Krishna. And because the gopis had been separated from Krishna for so many years, the gopis, having come along with Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda, felt intense ecstasy upon seeing Krishna. No one can even imagine how anxious the gopis were to see Krishna once again. As soon as Krishna became visible to them, they took Krishna inside their hearts through their eyes and embraced Krishna to their full satisfaction. Even though the gopis were embracing Krishna only mentally, the gopis became so ecstatic and overwhelmed with joy that for the time being, the gopis completely forgot themselves. This ecstatic trance, which the gopis achieved simply by mentally embracing Krishna, is impossible to achieve even for great yogis who are constantly engaged in meditation on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna could understand that the gopis were wrapped in ecstasy by embracing Him within their minds, and therefore, since Krishna is present in everyone's heart, Krishna also reciprocated the gopis' embracing from within. Krishna was sitting with Mother Yashoda and His other mothers, namely Devaki and Rohini. And when the mothers engaged in talking, Krishna took the opportunity and went to a secluded place in order to meet the gopis. As soon as Krishna approached the gopis, He began to smile. And after embracing them and inquiring about their welfare, Krishna began to encourage the gopis. My dear friends, you know that both Lord Balaram and myself left Vrindavan just to please our relatives and family members. Thus, we were long engaged in fighting with our enemies and were obliged to forget you. You, who were so much attached to me in love and affection. I can understand by this action that I have been ungrateful to you, but still I know you are faithful to me. So may I inquire if you have been thinking of us, although we had to leave you behind. My dear gopis, do you now dislike remembering me, considering me to have been ungrateful to you? Do you take my misbehavior with you very seriously? After all, you should know that it was not my intention to leave you. Our separation was ordained by Providence, who, after all, is the supreme controller and does as He desires. Providence causes the intermingling of different persons and again disperses them as He desires. Sometimes we see that due to the presence of clouds and strong wind, atomic particles of dust and broken pieces of cotton are intermingled together. And then, after the strong wind subsides, all the particles of dust and cotton are again separated, scattered in different places. Similarly, the Supreme Lord is the creator of everything. The objects which we see are simply different manifestations of His energy. By His supreme will, we are sometimes united and sometimes separated. We can therefore conclude that ultimately we are absolutely dependent on the supreme will. Fortunately, you have developed loving affection for me, which is the only way to achieve the transcendental position of association with me. Any living entity who develops such unalloyed devotional affection for me, at the end, certainly goes back home, back to Godhead. In other words, unalloyed devotional service and affection for me are the cause of supreme liberation. My dear gopi friends, you may know from me that it is my energies only which are acting everywhere. Take, for example, an earthen pot. It is nothing but a combination of earth, water, air, fire, and sky. It is always of the same physical composites, whether in its beginning, during its existence, or after annihilation. When it is created, the earthen pot is made of earth, water, fire, air, and sky. While it remains, it is the same in composition. And when it is broken and annihilated, its different ingredients are conserved in different parts of the material energy. So similarly, at the creation of this cosmic manifestation, during its maintenance, and after its dissolution, everything is but a different manifestation of my energy. And because the energy is not separate from me, it is to be concluded that I am existing in everything. Now, in the same way, the body of a living being is nothing but a composition of the five elements, and the living entity embodied in the material condition is also part and parcel of me. The living entity is imprisoned in the material condition on account of his or her false conception of oneself as the supreme enjoyer. This false ego of the living entity is the cause of his or her imprisonment in material existence. But as the Supreme Absolute Truth, I am transcendental to the living entity as well as to one's material embodiment. The two energies, material and spiritual, are both acting under my supreme control. My dear gopis, I request that instead of being so afflicted, you try to accept everything with a philosophical attitude. Then you will understand that you are always with me and that there is no cause of lamentation in our being separated from one another. This important instruction of Lord Krishna to the gopis can be utilized by all devotees engaged in Krishna consciousness. The whole philosophy is considered on the basis of inconceivable, simultaneous oneness and difference. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says that He is present everywhere in His impersonal feature. Everything is existing in Him, but still He is not personally present everywhere. The cosmic manifestation is nothing but a display of Krishna's energy. And because the energy is not different from the energetic, nothing is different from Krishna. But when this absolute consciousness or Krishna consciousness is absent, then we are separated from Krishna. But fortunately, if this Krishna consciousness is present, then we are not separated from Krishna. The whole process of devotional service is the revival of Krishna consciousness. And if the devotee is fortunate enough to understand that the material energy is not separated from Krishna, then one can utilize the material energy and its products in the service of Lord Krishna. But in the absence of Krishna consciousness, the forgetful living entity, although part and parcel of Krishna, falsely puts him or herself in the position of enjoyer of the material world, and thus being implicated in material entanglement, is forced by the material energy to continue his or her material existence. This is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. Although a living entity is forced to act by the material energy, one falsely thinks that he or she is the all in all and the supreme enjoyer. However, if the devotee knows perfectly that the Archavigraha or deity form of Lord Krishna in the temple is exactly the same Sachidananda Vigraha as Krishna himself, then one's service to the temple deity becomes direct service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Similarly, the temple itself, the temple paraphernalia, and the food offered to the deity are also not separate from Krishna. One simply has to follow the rules and regulations prescribed by the acharyas, and thus, under superior guidance, Krishna realization is fully possible even within this material existence. The gopis, having been thus instructed by Krishna in this philosophy of simultaneous oneness and difference, remained always in Krishna consciousness and thus became liberated from all material contamination. The consciousness of the living entity who falsely presents him or herself as the enjoyer of this material world is called Jiva Kosha, which means imprisonment by false ego. Not only the gopis, but anyone who follows these instructions of Krishna immediately becomes free from the Jiva Kosha imprisonment. A person in full Krishna consciousness is always liberated from false egoism. He or she utilizes everything for Krishna's service and is not at any time separated from Krishna. The gopis therefore prayed to Krishna, "O dear Krishna, from your navel emanated the original lotus flower, which is the birth site of Lord Brahma, the Creator. No one can estimate your glories or your opulence, which therefore remain always a mystery, even to the highest thoughtful men, the masters of all yogic power. The conditioned soul, fallen into the dark well of this material existence, can very easily, however, take shelter of your lotus feet, and thus one's deliverance is guaranteed. Dear Krishna, we are always busy in our family affairs. We therefore request that you remain within our hearts as the rising sun, and that will be your greatest benediction." The gopis are always liberated souls because they are fully in Krishna consciousness. The gopis only pretended to be entangled in the household affairs of Vrindavan, And in spite of their long separation, the inhabitants of Vrindavan, the gopis, were not interested in the idea of going with Krishna to his capital city, Dwaraka. Instead, the gopis wanted to remain busy in Vrindavan and thus feel the presence of Krishna in every step of their lives. And so, immediately the gopis invited Krishna to come back to Vrindavan. This transcendental emotional existence of the gopis is the basic principle of Lord Chaitanya's teachings. The Ratha Yatra festival, observed by Lord Chaitanya, is the emotional process of taking Krishna back to Vrindavan. Srimati Radharani refused to go with Krishna to Dwaraka in order to enjoy his company in the atmosphere of royal opulence, but instead wanted to enjoy Krishna's company in the original Vrindavana atmosphere. Lord Krishna, thus being profoundly attached to the gopis, never goes away from Vrindavana. And so the gopis and other residents of Vrindavana remain fully satisfied in Krishna consciousness. Thus ends chapter 82, scene 5. Krishna instructs the gopis on the highest philosophy of life. All glories to Krishna book. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.